Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, we welcome you to our program, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madahib al-Arba'a, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. Today's date is 14th Dhul-Hijjah, 1443, corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 14th of July, 2022. Alhamdulillah, we have our Honorable Mufti Saab here. Mufti Saab, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa Zaid Khan. Jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Saab, our first question for today is, people who are still in Mecca, what ibadah is more rewarding for them, tawaf or umrah?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, today in our fiqh lesson, our lesson on jurisprudence, we decided to discuss durusul hajj wal umrah and durusul qurbani. What lessons we can learn regarding a hajj, umrah, Madina Munawwara and Qurbani and so forth and so on. So for people who are still in Makkah Mukarrama, so which is the best ibadat for them to do? So there's ijma and consensus, and majority of the scholars also state so, because of the hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man tawfa bil bayti khamsina marra, kharaja min dhunubihi kayomin waladatu ummuhu. Whosoever performs 55 tawaf, one tawaf is 7 rounds, 7 circuits. So whosoever performs 50 tawaf, then he comes out from his sins so pure and cleansed like the day his biological mother gave birth to him. So definitely we will say a tawafu afdal min al umrah. However, that does not mean that they should not make umrah. Umrah season is open now. So remember, for people who are there in Makkah Mukarrama, so we will advise them, because first time in your life you're going, or second time, when will you go again? Allah alone knows what all the crazy laws the Saudis have implemented. So my advice will be, go to Tan'im if you haven't been there, and you can make niyyah there, intention there for umrah. How do we know about Tan'im? Remember, from there we know that Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha and a brother Abdurrahman radiallahu anhuma, they perform umrah from there, and this was on the night of the 14th before the departure back to Medina Munawwara. Or you can go to Jirana, and that is 30 kilometers away from Medina Munawwara. And this was when Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the Fateh Makkah, the conquest of Makkah, then the sequence of events were as follows. Then we have the Battle of Hunain, and thereafter we have the Battle of Taif. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was returning at night time, therefore many Sahaba did not even know about it. So in the 8th year of the Hijrah, he, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Jirana, fasten ihram there, and from there perform umrah. But if you're going to Jirana, then make Zahab Iyab. Zahab Iyab means round trip, going and coming. Tell the taxi, the bus or the coaster, whatever you're going with, they must wait there for you, and wonderful facilities they have, that we must say. And from there you come, mashallah, and perform the umrah. So Tan'im is Qawlun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about it regarding Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha and Abdurrahman radiallahu anha. And regarding Jirana is Fi'lun Nabi, Amalun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the action of the Master alayhi salam himself. And third one, if you want to, you can go to Hudaybiyah. Hudaybiyah is nowadays known as Shumaysiyah. That is where the mushrikeen, the polytheists, idol worshippers, prevent Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam Sahaba, 1400-1500 of them, as mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, in the 6th year of the Hijrah, the month of Zulqadah. So all these Umrahs were performed in the month of Zulqadah. So Zulqadah 6th year was Hudaybiyah, 7th year was Zulqadah Umratul Qada from Medina Munawwara, and 8th year was Ji'rana, so also in Zulqadah. So nevertheless, these are the options you will have, but to sum it up, more tawaf will be better than takrarul umrah, than making more and more umrah.
Mufti Sahab, some women are in their menses, so what happens if they have not yet done the tawaful wida?
Here there are three separate issues. Issue number one is this, that when a lady goes for hajj, right? So we will tell them that if they are expecting their menses and so forth during the time for tawaful ziyara, Hanafis use the term tawaful ziyara, and the Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis use the term tawaful ifada. So the name is different, but in essence both refer to the same tawaf, and this is a rukun, this is compulsory, they must perform it. Then only will husband-wife relationship be permissible and the Hajj will be complete. So therefore, the first issue, Al-Qadiyatul Ula, here will be, when we used to take the groups, we used to tell the ladies, if you know that you're going to expect your menses, then I even know the medicine's name, that we're not doctors or something, but the doctors tell us that we should advise the woman to take that medication, Primulat N. And this got nothing to do with birth control or what have you. It is just lita'akhiril hayz. It's just to postpone and defer and delay the menses, so that ijma'an is permissible. So that's one issue. Second issue is this, if the lady is still in Makkah and she has not performed her tawaful ifada, tawaful ziyara, I told you who calls it what and so. So then you have to wait there. It's compulsory. Remember that. Till you perform that tawaf ziyara, tawaful ifada. If you go away, your hajj is incomplete. Husband-wife relationship will not be permissible. There'll be severe consequences and problems. So she must wait there till when she's 100% pure and clean. She takes her first ghusl and then performs the tawaf in the normal clothes, and the men also will go, but the men already performed their tawaf. For them, there's no delay, but the husband can accompany the wife or the brother, the sister, and so forth. And so on. All this is done in your normal clothes. So remember, that is the second scenario. Third scenario for tawaf ziyara, tawaful ifada, which is very, very serious, and that is that now this lady, now she has to leave today, tomorrow, and you know if you miss your flight and all that, then you have to wait for 1-2 weeks, 1 month, and so forth. There's 1 million people who perform Hajj, and Jeddah Airport is chaotic also. So what happens in a case like that? Wahiya haiza, she is in a state of menses, and alayha an tatuf tawaf al-ifada, tawaf al-ziyara, she has to perform tawaf al-ziyara, and the plane to catch, and you know all that, and they can't delay it. So as a last resort, we will tell her that go and perform your tawaf in the state of menses, and thereafter there's no salat, and thereafter make your sa'i. Wa alayha al-badana, and she will have to slaughter a camel. So sometimes they in Saudi, I know 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, there were big problems. They couldn't slaughter camels because of a virus and so forth. So what is currently the status quo? We're not 100% sure. So if the camels are available, you must slaughter the camel there in Makkah or Mina and so forth. So that's one issue. If the camels you still can't, then you take 7 goat or 7 sheep and you slaughter it there in Makkah, Mina. That is because this is al-jinayatul kubra, a major violation. Tawaful ziyara is farz, is compulsory. Tawaful ifada, you're supposed to do so in the state of tahara, tahira, and now you are trampling, although it's not your fault, but therefore Islam will say. This is the fatwa of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah. This see the fatwa of Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah and them as well. So that is the fatwa we give. If the lady has to perform tawaful ziyarah, tawaful ifadah during the state of menses, so that is one issue. Now tawaful wida, the farewell tawaf, that is wajib, you have to perform it. But remember, there are one, two exemptions and exclusions. For example, people who are living in Makkah, Mina, they don't have to perform it because they are resident, they're not going anywhere. Next one is, when they were coming for Hajj, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba, in a place called Sarif, where Sayyida Maymuna radiallahu anha is buried, the honorable wife of the Master alayhi salam, there, lo and behold, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, her menses started. So she made intention for Tamattu or Qiran, meaning for Umrah and so forth. Then she had to make Faskhul Umrah ilal Hajj, and she cancelled the Umrah and made a Hajj only. So therefore she performed Ifrad Hajj. Who? Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. And therefore she was crying because there was no Umrah. Then on the night of the 14th she performed it Umrah, right? Now when after Tawaful Ifada, then she same Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha came and informed Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Sayyida Safiya radiallahu anha, her napaki, her haiz, her menses started. So lo and behold, this is the system of Allah. Allah let this happen. So a precedent could be set for humanity and posterity for the future. And what is that? So he, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asked Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, ahabisatuna hiya, will she prevent us? Now we won't be able to go. Then Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha said, afadat ya Rasulullah, she made tawaful ifadah already. Then Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, idan fanfiri, then we can go. So tawaful wida is wajib, but if a lady is in the menses, then it is saqit for her, is waived off, and there's no dam, no penalty. So we must draw a distinction. Tawaful ziyara, tawaful ifadah, that the lady must do in all cases, circumstances. And tawaful wida, the farewell tawaf, is only tawaf, no sahih after that. That is wajib in normal circumstances. But when a lady is in a haiz or a nifas and a postnatal or menses, then it will be waved off and it falls off and there's no sin upon her. He, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, لا ينفرن أحد منكم حتى يكون آخر أهدي بالبيت. The last thing you should do is tawaful wida. The hadith is authentic, Ibn Majah, Mustad Ahmad, Mishkat Sharif, various compilations.
Mufti Saab, the next question is, those people who are going to Medina and Makkah, what advice can Mufti Saab give for them?
From Makkah, they are going to Medina Munawwara, like the groups from London, UK, that's how they go. They go after Hajj. The groups from America, many of them do that. We South Africans, 90%, 99%, we go to Medina Munawwara first, then we come to Makkah, then Aziziyah, then Hajj, and straight after that Jeddah and come back home. So yes, our advice to those people who are going now to Medina Munawwara, if you read today's Saudi Arab news on the Saudi Gazette, you will see they have an article there, and how many thousands of people are now moving from Makkah to Medina Munawwara. First thing we will tell them, perform your tawaful wida as I just mentioned now, and en route to Medina Munawwara, you should do 2-3 things. Number one is make sure you read your salat, if there's any salat. If you leave in the morning after Fajr, after breakfast, Ishraq, by Zuhr time you'll be in Medina, it's 4 hours, 5 hours. But sometimes people leave late their salat, then you have to stop and make sure you read your salat. There are so many masajid en route to Medina, between Makkah, Medina, good facilities nowadays. So there's no excuse. Second one, keep your tongue moist with salawat, durood sharif, salutations upon Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya dakhil ad-dar, salli ala an-nabi al-mukhtar. Oh, you who are going to enter Medina Munawwara, read salawat, salutation, durood. I told you, what is the meaning of durood? Durood is a Farsi word, Persian word. It means harvest. So people have bumper crops, bumper harvest. They sell that and get receive for minimum crops, maximum profit. They get big amount of money. So read Durood Sharif, Salawat, Salutations abundantly. Why? So that you will obtain and attain maximum reward. Almighty Allah will reward you. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Adat Sharifa, Adat Mubarakah. The nearer the Master alayhi salam came to Medina Munawwara, Asra As-Sair, Sair. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go faster, faster with the camel Mubarak and so forth. So we can't tell the pilot to go faster, you go by plane from Jeddah to Medina. We can't tell the bus driver or taxi driver, there'll be big problems, the tickets and accident and Allah. So the nearer we come to Medina Munawwara, increase the amount of salawat and durood sharif. Similarly, this is not a sunnah, but ulama, they have written this, Hazrat Tanwi rahmatullah alayh, and then they wrote this, that when you're traveling from Makkah to Medina, or you're coming from South Africa, or Hammam's Kraal, Australia, wherever, and you're coming to Medina Munawwara, then read as much as possible Surah Kawthar, Inna A'atayna Kal Kawthar, Faswalli Li Rabbika Wanhar, Inna Shaniya Kal Abtar. So we will say it is encouraged, but we won't say it's sunnah. But to read Durood Sharif 100%, that is sunnah, and so forth and so on. So that is what we should try and do. Then you will go to your hotel, all that and so forth and so on. Then remember, you take your bath, change your clothes. Before you enter the masjid, give out some charity, 1 riyal, 5, 10, 20, 50 riyal, whatever you can afford. Before you're going to read the salat and salam upon Nabiul Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu idha najaytumur rasul faqaddimu bayna yaday najwaakum sadaqah. The only person who practice on this, that before you speak to the Master alayhi salam, you must give charity. It was compulsory for a short period. The person who practiced on it was Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu warda, and then Allah Ta'ala made mansukh, cancelled it, abrogated it. But we say it still remains mustahab and so forth. When you enter, Bismillah wa salat wa salam wa ala rasulillah, rabbi ghfir li dhunubi, Allah maftah li abwaba rahmatik, nawaitul itikaf ma dumtu fil masjid. You see these Saudis, they destroy everything. Any person who went to the haram in the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000 and after, till about 5, 7 years ago, if you came from the men, from the main entrance for the men, door number 1, Babu Salam, there was a pillar there, and on that pillar it was written Sunnat al-Etikaf. So they took that out now. So they, no, there's nothing like this and all. So remember that you must make intention of Nafil Sunnat al-Etikaf. Sunnat al-Muakkada is during Ramadan. But anytime you enter, so Hazrat Shaykh Hazrat Muhammad Zakariya Shaykh al-Hadith Nawwarallahu Barqadahu, his murids and students say, whenever Hazrat used to enter the masjid there while in Medina, before Adhan, not before Jamaat, before Adhan, that was and always would make intention. So one student asked Hazrat, ke aapne kitne martaba dua wo niyat ki aur etikaf ke liye, nafil etikaf ke liye. To Hazrat said, agar ek martaba bhi Allah ke yaha qabool ho gaya to behra paar hai. How many times you made intention for nafil etikaf? Hazrat said, if one also is accepted, then I'm successful. See, that is akabir. So we must understand the love for Medina Munawwara. Then you go and read salat and salam. You first read tahiyatul masjid, and thereafter you make sajda e shukr, and then you go to the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulallah. As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Habiballah. The police are there. They won't even leave you. You just read 2-3 sentences and make haji haji harrik harrik harrik. So all that. And you say ya Rasulallah, Allah ishfa ali, or you say Allahumma zukna shafaat al Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can convey salams, and then by Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhuma, and that is how you. Then you go for ziyarat and so forth. You go to Friday if it is possible, go to Baqi, and then on Saturday you go to Quba. Sunday you go to Uhud. So these are like the best days. But any time you can go, it's fine. So all this you should try and do. And shopping, we can't forget shopping. So what is your shopping list for Medina, Maulana? Write down A, B, I. A-B-I. A for Ajwa. So the best dates you must remember are Ajwa dates. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's authentic hadith in Bukhari Sharif. Man tasabbaha bisabi ajwatin lam yadurruhu summun wala sihrun. So whosoever takes 7 dates in the early part of the morning, before Fajr, after Fajr, before breakfast, then no sum, no sihr, no poison and no jadu, witchcraft, nothing will affect that person. So one by one you take 7 dates like that. Then second date which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the name, the naam of the date, Barni. A for Ajwa, B for Barni. So fihi dawaun wala da'afi. The hadith is authentic in Tabarani. So in Barni there is shifa and cure and there is no sickness in it. So Ajwa is 100 riyals, 80 riyals, 90 riyals night. It will be expensive with Hajj season, and meaning the Hujjah are still there. And remember that Barni is cheap, 10, 15, 20 riyals. So, you know, it's rice per size business that when it's off season, it's cheap. And Ajwa, if you study Sahih Muslim, you get Al-Ajwa Al-A'liyah, the best, the supreme quality. So there also you get different grades and different quality and so forth. A for Ajwa, B for Barni, I for Ithmit. Ithmit is not surma, it's not khajur, it's surma. It's antimony, what you use on your eyes. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Alaykum bil Ithmit. Use Ithmit, for innahu yajlul basar wa yumbitu shar. It makes the eyes, the vision also very sharp, and it makes the hair grow and so forth. Authentic hadith, Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmed. So these are your main shopping lists. Ajwa, A for Ajwa, B Barni, I Ithmid. Ithmid, Hamza or Alif, our people call Alif is actually Hamza, and Tha, Meem, Dal, Ithmid. Remember, it's not blackish in color, it's like pinkish, reddish in color, the original Ithmid. So that is what you should try and buy and purchase when you are in Madinah Munawwara.
Mufti Sahab, what are the main lessons do we draw from Hajj?
The main lesson we draw from Hajj is, remember, unity, solidarity. People came from different countries, different cities, different cultures, and you all standing in Arafat. And what are you saying? Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. You are saying, La ilaha illallahu wahdahu la sharika lahu lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa la kullu shayin qadir. Hadith in Tirmidhi Shahiri Sharif, Du'ai wa du'a wal anbiya min qabli. And you are saying, Anta Rabbuna, Anta Rabbuna. Why are you saying that? You see in Mishkat Sharif, in Musnad Ahmad, even in Mishkat you will find it. So you must remember that what is the hadith? That in Alam Arwah, in the realm of the souls and the spirits, Allah Ta'ala took a covenant, a pledge from us. And Quran speaks of it. Alastu bi Rabbikum. So everybody who's going to come to this earth, everyone. So Allah posed the question, am I not your sustainer, nourisher, provider? Qalu bala. They said, why not? So you called it Ahd Alast. So where did this happen? In Arafat. That time it was called Wadi and Na'aman. And the hadith in Musnad Ahmad, Mishkat, in various compilations. So we go like how we renew our car license and this license annually. So we go to Arafat, the Hujjaj Baitillah, and we renew that pledge. Anta Rabbuna. Our shop, our job, our factory, our farm, all that are sabab-e-zahiri, the superficial means for the sustenance. But the sabab-e-hakiki, the real nourisher, sustainer, is who? Is Almighty Allah. The doctor gives the injection, medication, whatever, so that is superficial reason. But the real shafi is Almighty Allah. So like that it is. So that's one of the main lessons we learn, that therefore al-hajju arafah and wahad al-hadithu Ummul Manasik, Imam Tirmidhi said. So that is the essence, that is the pinnacle of Hajj, remember. So inshallah, we hope and pray all the Hajjis, their Hajj is accepted, who belong to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah and perform Hajj sincerely and so forth. But remember that today there is so many things going on, that our own South African Hajjis, they to promise 5-star Hajj, 5-star, you know, and people, they fall for this. When they reach Arafat, then the Raji Assyrians came and invaded and they had to run away. So when we take the focus of Almighty Allah and we start putting the focus on what the agents say, what the swans say, no, I paid 200,000, got a million, so much, so much. So remember, Allah shows you. And in Hajj, always you will find this. I remember, I give you one, two easy examples. People love stories. Let me give you the story quickly. One day the people were very happy because the agent don't tell them which bus I'm going in. You see, we have 8 buses, 10 buses, 12 buses, depending how many hajis. We used to have 1,000 hajis sometimes, you know, 800 and 600 in the good old days. So, mashallah, like that. So, anyway, what all this used to happen, so they'll tell me bus number 2, then I just jump in. Bus number 5, I just jump in there. So, they told me bus number 4, for example. So, I jumped in. So, the people got happy. Easier. We just move 1-2 kilo, bang, the puncture took place. You understood? Now we came last there. I say, you see, you put your trust on AK, so Allah bring us last there. You must put your trust in Allah, not on people and so forth and so on. One story. Second story, I don't know if you know about this, 1997, there was a huge fire. So today was the first day of Hajj, for example. I can exactly vividly remember. It was 11:30, 12 o'clock, people came, fire. I told them, just sit quietly, every year this fire. Then again they came, so I said, let me go and see. When I saw the fire, it wasn't a fire, it was an inferno. And the tents were burning, and there were explosions. So I told our group, everybody pack up all your stuff, we're going back to Makkah. This is first day of Hajj now. So remember, we packed up, and I remember from there, Makkah, I phoned my mother, and because my mother was still alive, you know, in 97. So, and she passed away also in 97. So then I told her that, see, don't worry, you're going to hear a lot of stories, we're safe and all these things here, so don't worry, and this type of thing. So anyway, all that happened. So the point I'm making is this, that what happened was, we went to Makkah. So that first day was gone. Now the second day, we have to go from Makkah to Arafat. Now these guys also, they turned to how much? 500 riyal, 300 riyal, 400. So we managed to get the coaster. I remember 25-30 seater. So I explained to that guy, see, that we will give you your money, but you must try your level best. You know it's Arafat. We want to be right in the tent, in the camp we got. So all the Kalas and Opas and Omas and that bichara who can't walk in wheelchair, and they all joined me. Few youngsters also. So while we are going, bichara, the one chef's wheelchair also flew away. So the one Haji said, just leave him. I said, how can you even talk like that, you know? He said, just leave it, man. What, we must worry about the wheelchair? I said, but the man is mazur, how can we? So, you know, from top they put it, they didn't fasten and it fell off, it flew away. So we went, we brought that back, all that. Lo and behold, we paid that guy, say if we were 25. So we paid him, you understand, 20 riyals, 25 riyals or something like that. So he got his 400-500, whatever. He was happy. But the main concern, and I'm telling the Hajis when we're leaving, please, Haji, go off this bus here, this coaster. I'm not guaranteeing you we will get to Arafat, the camp. There might be a lot of walking to do. But the Haji not one wants to go off. They say, no, we will come. I say, okay. Don't complain. But one of them might cry or make dua, and Allah's mercy came, all the opas, omas, old people. This motor took 1-2 turns and we reached right to our camp. Now that doesn't happen normally. Understood? But this, now, what is the truth we must speak? Yeah, we must give the Saudis 100%. When we came back to Mina, everything up to date. That's the time they brought all fireproof tents and everything from 97 onwards. You won't think there was a fire there. So that you must give them due. But over 1,000 people lost their life. Thousands were injured. Obviously, they don't tell you all this. People passed away. They became shaheed and so much. But the fire came right very near to the South African camp. But with Allah shukr, they didn't enter. By that time, the fire was extinguished and so forth. So it was a very, very scary and a very, very, you know, sad incident and an experience that was.
Mufti Sahib, what is a sign that a person's Hajj was accepted?
Hassan Basri rahimahullah, who was the sage of the age, remember he was born in Medina Munawwara. His tahniq was done by Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu warda. And what he said, Sayyidina Umar, that when he took the date inserted it in his mouth, then he said, Allahumma faqihu fi deen wa habibhu ilan nas. That, ya inshallah, when your son comes, you must make the same dua, Mawlana. Ya Allah, make him a faqih, that a person who's got proper, profound, deep understanding of deen. Allahumma faqihu fi deen, and make him beloved to the people. He stayed in Medina till he was 14 years old. Then they moved to Basra and all that. So he, Imam Hassan al-Basri, passed away in 110. So remember that. So the last Sahabi passed away in 110, Abu Tufail. So Dawsi. So, and he was Tabi'i, that is this Hassan Basri. So Imam Sayyidina Hassan Basri, rahimahullah, he used to say, what is the sign that Allah accept the Hajj? Al-Raghba ila al-Akhirah and al-Raghba anid dunya. The glitter, glamour of this world, you're no more interested in it. Now your shock, your desire, your focus is more and more the year after. So that is the sign. So the person never misses his salat. The lady will never go and there in public places, and now the niqab and the hijab is off. Chalo aje bo garm garmi lage, let me also jump in the pool, let me also jump in the ocean in Durban and all that in front of everybody. That is shaitani at that. So imagine now all the haya is gone, everything. So when we speak of a hajj maqbool, hajj mabroor, we become better Muslim, practical Muslim, practicing on Islam and not apologizing and compromising on Islam.
Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you back to this program. Mufti Sahab, the next question is that what happens to the Jamarat after belting?
You know, when you study the works of Allama Suyuti rahimahullah, he wrote in those days. Now, Suyuti rahimahullah was a prolific scholar, Sari'ut Ta'lif. He wrote over 1,000 books and all. But same time, ulama call him Hatibul Layl. Hatibul Layl means picking up hood at night. So if you pick up hood at night, sometimes you pick up the right ones and sometimes you pick up the wrong ones also. So meaning sometimes he mixes things up also. Human being we are, but he was an Allama, was a giant in Egypt, you know. Suyuti is a suit, actually. But then when people, you make nisbah, you say Jalaluddin Suyuti. Jalaluddin Suyuti, rahimahullah. So, lo and behold, the point I want to make here is this. That what you should remember, that he said that the people whose hajj are accepted, the pebbles are taken by the angels, and those that are rejected, they are stayed there. But when you see today, I don't know if people even know all these things here. That if I, other day I asked the people, yeah, I was doing tafsir Tuesday night, I do in Jami Masjid, I asked them, how many shaitans there, how many jamarats there? They say 3. I asked them all, I say it's wrong. So remember that nowadays there are 12 shaitans. So if you're coming from Makkah, Aziziyah, then there are 2 floors. So every floor got 3. And if you're coming from Mina, then there's another 2 floors. So 4 floors you can see. And remember, if you know the proper history, then in the basement, they got another 3. For this royal family and prime ministers, and that if they have to come pelt with the public will pelt them. The MBS and Murtad bin Shaitan, and the Secretary General of Rabita, and that all these Murtads, the people get all of them and pelt them. So what these shaitans did, at the bottom in the basement, they made for them special species shaitans, you know. So they got, so how many shaitans we got, Namonana? How many? 15. 12 you can see, and one is right in the basement. That people don't even know about that. So the point here is this, if you look at it, even now my friend from Medina, and they sent it. So they bring the trucks in. So all that, now the shaitan is gone so big, you are a blind person. Person can pelt, and they're not like before, they just had a pillar. So from there they got the funnel. So now the funnel, then it goes down, down, down into the truck, and they take it back to Muzdalifah. So that is what happens to it. All that stories of Suyuti and that, if you want to make tawfiq that big, reconcile it, you can say, but then it will be 90% of the people Hajj is not accepted. If you take what Suyuti said, rahimahullah, that the people who Hajj are accepted, the pebbles are taken by the malaika. But 90% are there. We see ourselves, the trucks are coming and taking it away and all these things there. So rather we say that that is not authentic. And remember the Saudi regime, they take all those pebbles there and they bring it and take it back to Muzdalifah and they recycle it basically. So that is what happens.
Mufti Sahib, people want to go for Hajj, but they're finding it expensive. So what do they do in the future?
In a case like that, place your trust in Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala. Remember daily, even today I told a person, read 2 rakat salat and Qul Ya Kafirun after Fatiha, Qul Wallahu Had after Fatiha. Read Surah 2:128, Wa arina manasikana wa tubalena innaka anta tawwabur rahim. And Allah will take you, inshaAllah. I give you 3 quick stories. You must write it down, Maulana, because you, I see, you like also all this. There's a book, remember, called Tabaqatul Hanabila. Tabaqatul Hanabila, right? So the grades on the different categories of the Hanbali scholars. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, who was known as Imam Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah, I've been to Iraq and he wulid abi Baghdad, but wufi abi Baghdad, we went to his grave Mubarak also. So nevertheless, so he went to see the Hajis off. And where he stopped? In Qadisiyah. Qadisiyah is where the battle took place and all that. Anyway, now his heart was feeling so hurt. That, but he doesn't have money, he doesn't have means, nothing. And I'm seeing the hadith of, Ya Allah, when will I go for Hajj, and so forth and so on. That is Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Imam Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah. A person came to him, you want to go for Hajj? He said, yes. But you know, he said, leave all that, you want to go? He said, yes. He said, come. He took him quickly, and so he reached Makkah. He said, Subhanallah. And the route, whenever it is meal time, best type of food. And he's eating from way oldest. You understood? Now he started taking the food and say, I'll keep for front. He say, hey, no storing in here. You must eat and leave it, finish and clap. That same Allah who gave us now, he'll give us tomorrow also. So every time they stop, excellent food in there. Lo and behold, he went, performed Hajj, everything. Way he took, the person took him from Qadisiyah, he brought him back after Hajj day, Qadisiyah. So now the question asked, now who is the person? And I gave you the reference, Tabaqatul Hanabila is mentioned. So they say it was Hazrat Khizr alayhi salatu wasalam. So sometime it can happen like that. I told you my story. When I came here where we're sitting now. So 2001, I booked my ticket, everything. And then from Newcastle, 20 years finished, and I came here with Allah's help. Then that time was no email and all these things. That time was fax, you know. So my students and colleagues and whatever, Cape Town. So King Fahd sent the fax. You all understood? Now what I got to do with King Fahd, what he got to do with me, I don't know him, he don't know me. And only one person is chosen, whole South Africa. So they tell me, well, where are you and us? And then, so I start laughing, but what you looking for? He said, Fahd sent the letter. I said, go tell Fahd must fly a kite. You know? Say, don't come talk nonsense here. This letter for you. I said, okay, send it. I thought, you know, they're making a fool, like, you know. So, because they didn't know, I left Newcastle and came here. So anyway, then for real, I saw his official. Then I went to the embassy, and then they also start shouting me, how come you come so late? And us, and that, you know, how they also... Ya Shaykh, and I said, okay, Samihni, and this. So I want to tell them long story and this. So then they give you a different kind of visa and this. And lo and behold, I was the only person from South Africa. You know, they call Duyufu Khadimil Haramain Sharifain and this. It's Allah's fadl, Allah's mercy is nothing to do with us. Hada rahmatu mi rabbi, hada fadlu mi rabbi. So that hada bin fadli rabbi. So the point is this, I always say, don't worry about MBS and these murtads and this, Secretary General of Rabita, another murtad and so forth. So you speak to Allah, you cry to Allah, and if Allah wants, you'll be there. We saw, Maulana, I saw with my own eyes, that people is 3 days, 5, 7 days left for Hajj, South African, never perform Hajj, and he said, I'm fed up, I can't stay here, it's so hot, the people are making me mad, this one push, I want to go. That time, no agent business and all, he went to Jeddah with his wife, he booked ticket to Bombay and all that, he left his father and he went away. So we say Allah Ta'ala made him mahrumin matrudin. Allah kicked him out. We saw that also, and we saw maqbulin also. A person, South African, he came to Jeddah. They told him, you know how they carry on. Airport closed, mamnu. So the plane went back to Dubai. When he reached Dubai, they told him airport open. So they brought him back again. And then he came and performed a Hajj. So funny things happen like this. So put your trust in Allah. And inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will open many doors, inshallah.
Mufti Sahib, is there anything like a Friday Hajj?
Remember that Jamaluddin Zaila'i, this is very interesting, you must write it down. Allama Jamaluddin Zaila'i is a Hanafi scholar and he hails from Somalia. Whenever I go to a place and I see a lot of Somalis, I ask them, who's Allama Zaila'i? 3/4 of them don't know also. Then I tell them, inform them. So he was from Somalia, and remember that he was a great Hanafi scholar. He wrote books, and is a book then Nasbur Raya. He made Takhrijul Ahadith fil Hidayah. So he has written on this, and he mentioned about this, that when the day of Arafat and the day, you must remember, of Jummah come on that day, then there is great virtue for it. It is better than 70 Hajj and so forth. Now, you know in Arabic, 70 la li tahdeed, bal li taksir. I tell you in English, I told you 100 times. It don't mean 100 times. It means many, many times, several times. So Arabic 70 is like that. So it means, so there is asal to it. And Muhaddis Ibn Manda, and you know, Mullah Ali Qari, and all of them agreed, word Sheikh Allama Jamaluddin Zaila'i, and so forth and so on. In fact, Mullah Ali Qari wrote a book on this, you know, and Al-Hadzul Awfar Fil Hajjil Akbar. So every, our ulama, I give you our ulama, 1976, Mufti Shafi'i Sahib passed away, Rahimahullah, Grand Mufti of Pakistan. And then I went to study there at the time also. So remember that in Shawwal he passed away. Then Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith, Hazrat Mawaz Zakariya came for Ta'ziyat. Then in Karachi, Hazrat Allama bin Nuri came. Now these are the greatest sheikhs of Hadith. One said Allama bin Nuri, Rahimahullah, one said Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith. And we giving them mangoes and all that. Is Marajul Bahrain taking place. So if you open Hazrat Allama Yusuf bin Nuri's commentary, Ma'arif Sunan, on Tirmidhi Sharif, you will find Hazrat also spoke about this, that there is an asal, then you can say that there's much more virtue. Then Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith, Hazrat Mawaz Zakariya, Shaykhul Hadith, Nawwar Allah Marqadahu, his last itikaf was here in 81. We were there, Alhamdulillah. And the next year, the first Shaaban, 1982, Hazrat passes away there in Madinah Munawwara and buried there in Baqi. And not at the back, there with the Sahaba buried, you know. So Zalika Fadlullah Yoti Mayasha. So anyway, Hazrat Shaykh Nawwar Allah Marqadahu took this book of Mullah Ali Qari, and that is Al-Hadzul Awfar Fil Hajjil Akbar, and mashallah, thousands of copies they distributed and so forth. So yes, there is, 100%, you know. So, but provided the proper citing and that took place, not cooked up and all these type of things. Yeah.
Mufti Sahib, coming to the moon sighting, was this year in Saudi Arabia really a moon sighting that really took place?
See, first thing we tell the Hajis, your Hajj is done. And Allah will reward you. You don't understand. There's no blame on you. But I can give you Saudi track record. I give you 3 incidents and you be the judge. And everyone is 100%. 19, you must write it down, Maulana. Today we here, tomorrow we gone. So one day you also must know these things here. So 1984, Ramadan. You know in Islam, minimum days are 29. Maximum is 30. They had 28-day fast. Makkah, Medina. 28 days. And next day they had Eid. So the imams, they announced that, oh, there was mistake and this and all that. So then you all after Eid, you must keep one day qaza. I am thinking in South Africa, if a thing like this happened, they'll catch that bolada and they will circumcise them again. You must remember. There people are man khapla, yeah, it's all right. Half the guys will keep off and keep. You say the government make mix up what we must do. When, which year is that? 84. Then you come to 2004. You see, the Saudi regime, Biden is going there tomorrow. They are gulam. They are slaves. You must remember the Saudi regime. And Americans are the masters. You understood? They are the slaves of the Americans, you see. I always say this. You must remember that. People say, yeh bohut pakke hai tawheed mein. I said, bohut pakke hai gulamiyat mein. They're very big slaves of the Americans. So look at this incident. Bush, you know. So remember that it was his inauguration for his second term. You must remember that. So now 2004 and all that. So Hajj. Now they made the decision, right date. After 3 days, 4 days, they changed the date. They brought it 1 day earlier and so forth. We were there. And what a mix-up it was. And they say after 3 days, 4 days, somebody in some desert, some jungle saw the moon and all that. Who's making who a fool? You can go check it up. You must remember that. So that's two. 1 day, you must remember that 14 minutes before sunset was the birth of the moon. 14 minutes before sunset. So I told the people 100% tonight is Taraweeh. How can you have sighting? They announced sun, moon sighted several places. Next day, Eid ul-Fitr. Understood? And this type of thing. So this is that I'm giving you now about Ramadan. And when one Hajj, they invited us. You know, here in Cape Town, Sheikh Abdul Hamid, he passed away. So he was the ambassador. So it's a big thing here was in South Africa, Muslim personal law. So they invited us, 15, 16 of us. So they made us qazis in 2 weeks. They gave a certificate also. You know, and that, yeah, we qazis, you know, judges and all that, right? So anyway, for us, it was very good experience. So anyway, so they took us to Riyadh, and the course was in Riyadh and everything, Jamiatul Imam. So it was very good for us, Alhamdulillah. So we're going to meet Grand Mufti, the same Grand Mufti now, Abdul Aziz bin Abdullah Ali Sheikh. So we asked him, when is Ashura? This is after Hajj. He said, I can't remember exactly the day. For example, he said, Wednesday. Okay. Then, because they don't know sighting, you see. So they, I'll explain to you what they say. And then we go to meet the Sheikh Qazi, Ra'isul Qazi, who Sheikh Salih Luhaydan. We asked him, Sheikh, when is Ashura? Both are in Riyadh. That Mufti said Wednesday, for example, he said Thursday. We look at one another, you all both are confused. What about Awam? So I posed the question to him in the whole meeting. You can't ask like that, you have to write it. That explained to us how your moon works. So he said, lad, we, for 8 months of the year, we don't see. And his words, I'm quoting to you verbatim, laysa fiha ahkam. So Sha'ban, we see, Ramadan, we see, Eid ul-Fitr, we see, and Eid ul-Adha, we see. And they got 6 places. I went there also. They got, you know, the telescopes and us and all that. They use all that and all these type of things here. Makkah, Medina, Tabuk and Dammam and all these big places they use. Riyadh and all that, you see. So that is how they work and all this. Now, if you're asking this year, 1443, 2022, you go Google it and see. So in South Africa, you must remember, we said for Zulhijjah, the first was on that Friday, right? And they said the first was on that Thursday. So it means Wednesday night you had to see the moon. So if you look in South Africa, the moon was about 12 hours old. So there, they 1 hour ahead of us. So 11 hours, 10 hours. So where in the world can you see the moon at 10, 11 hours? Nowhere in the world you can see that. So as far as the Saudis go and moon, I say they got their own moon samis. Where I was born in Heidelberg, my neighbors, non-Muslims, they were moon samis. We used to play soccer together and that. I still remember their names and all. So John and Arthur and all. So anyway, you must remember this. So that is what they got, their moon samis. No tekana at all regarding Saudi. But your Hajj is valid. Now you see, if you go to Quran, Maulana, Surah 9, verse 37, Allah speaks of the mushrikeen. They used to play with the moon. Allah, one side they were kafirs, non-Muslims, and then with the playing of the moon, make this one the amir. Allah said, "Innaman nasi'u ziyadatun fil kufri." You are non-Muslim, and now you play with the moon, your kufr has increased. So I'm telling you, as Quran in my hand, that this MBS and this murtad of Tarabita and them, so they are kafir, they are murtad, and they play with the moon and manipulate it and make the Muslim ummah fools. It's the adatun fil kufri for them also. 100%. There's no question. Yes, if you're a bootlicker of them, like the Salafis, you're getting money from them and dollars from them and scholars for dollars, you can't speak all these things. But if you're independent like us, we don't have to bother everybody. وَالْحَقُّ أَحَقُّ أَيُّتَّبَى. You must follow the truth and speak the truth. سَچِّ بَاتْ تو ہمیشہ کروی ہوتی ہے. So the truth is always better. قُلِ الْحَقَّ وَلَوْ كَانَ مُرَّ. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abu Zar radiallahu anhu, is sahih hadith in Musnad Ahmad.
Alhamdulillah, this is the last question now, Mufti Saab. The question is, Hajis paid high amounts but did not fulfill, the agents did not fulfill their promises. What can be done?
Yes, we received various, several complaints from the Haji. Some of them contacted us by email, some by WhatsApp, some by this, some by that, in different ways. So I told them that speak to your agent and try and reach an amicable agreement. If he, the agent, doesn't want to listen, go to Sahuk and speak to them. They're the representative. If they can't do anything, most of the time they can't do anything for whatever reason, then go to Muassasa. I don't know if Muassasa even exists nowadays with all these new laws of theirs. So remember, then it's up to you. My advice will be, if you got your contract and your contract states A, B, C, D, E, F and they didn't fulfill it, so tell them that you're going to take them to the co-lawyers. I mean, you paid $500,000, $250,000, it's big money, you know, and this type of things. So you're entitled to that. So I would not blame you if you go to the lawyers or you go to some authorities and so forth, or you expose them that they, you know, they did you down and what and what. Certain things we can't accept. We can't blame the agent. For example, you are sitting there in Arafat or something and now the air conditioner go off. Or Mina there. So certain things you can't blame. It's beyond your control. But certain things deliberately you must remember they do. So then, obviously, they either reimburse you, refund you a certain amount, or otherwise you take action against them. That's your prerogative, 100%, and I'll agree with you on that issue.
Alhamdulillah, this brings us to the end of the program. It is now 12 o'clock and we're going for the news. Mufti Saab, Jazakumullah khairan for your time.
Barakallah fiqh, Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. We'll send out the podcast in the afternoon, inshallah al-Aziz. So don't worry, you'll get it inshallah in the afternoon. Barakallah fiqh, Assalamu alaikum. Okay, quickly let me run through with the programs and all. So the news. So, Brother Yusuf Ali, inshallah, will render the news, and thereafter will be Mona Ridwan Kaji, and he's speaking about his trip to Turkey. Then 1 o'clock Adhan, and thereafter Tafsir. Today, inshallah, we complete Surah Hadid, verses 23 to 29, and that's the ending of the 27 Jews. Then 1:30 to 2, inshallah, Surah to Shuara, 192 to 197. Then 2 to 3, current affairs with Brother Yusuf Ali. Thereafter 3 to 3:40, the repeat of this morning's Q&A, and then du'as 4 to 5 will be Moha Salim Dorat, who are the people of the noble Quran in Urdu, and then 5 to 7 Moana Khalid Yaqub, 7 to 7:30 the repeat of today's Tafsir, Surah Hadid verses 23 to 29, and thereafter inshallah 7:30 to 8 Moha Yunus Patel, 8 to 10 Moana Arafat Moha Salim Karim, the discussion, and then 10 to 11 Moana Katani inshallah. Barakallahu fiqh, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
JazakAllah khairan to Mufti Saab and to all our listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jamaah. We head on for the news now with Brother Yusuf Ali. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jamaah.